The Senate passed a huge spending bill Thursday night, $1.5 trillion, and it now awaits the president's signature. There's money for climate change, enhanced military spending, and billions in aid for Ukraine.
But from California to Maine, gas prices are sky high, the price of food soaring, which makes it tough for Democrats to bring home a message of good news. Our Friday political roundtable has a lot of ground to cover, so we're going to bring in Francesca Chambers now, White House correspondent for McClatchy, and Scott Wong, senior congressional reporter for NBC News. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
So, Scott, the president, I think it's fair to say, has a lot on his plate. Today he called on the World Trade Organization to downgrade Russia's trading status. There is a disagreement with Poland over sending fighter jets to Ukraine, pressure to put up a no-fly zone, which, of course, could lead to a wider war with Russia. I think that's just the appetizer, really, Scott. Do you think most Americans are on board with what President Biden is doing right now?
Well, it's certainly unavoidable. And I'm actually here in Philadelphia with the president as he addresses House Democrats at their annual issues conference, one that was supposed to focus on domestic issues, how to combat inflation, how to tackle immigration reform and voting rights and things like that. What's happened, of course, as we've all been watching on our television sets, is the war in Ukraine has completely dominated not only this gathering of Democrats here in Philadelphia, but has completely dominated the entire Democrats' agenda as President Biden struggles to deal with this international crisis, this war that we've seen in Europe, and the humanitarian crisis that has resulted in it, with millions and millions of Ukrainians streaming across, you know, across the border, just fleeing for their safety. And so this has been a problem of messaging, but just also the reality of you know, the scale and scope of what this war has done in the region, and the ramifications and reverberations that we're feeling in our economy all around the world.
Well, Francesca, let's talk about the president and the economy, especially energy. The war in Ukraine has done what wars often do. They send gas prices sky high, and now the White House has said no to Russian oil. Let's listen to Democratic Congressman David Cicilline on MSNBC this week.
I think Americans are ready to do their part, and we're going to try to figure out ways to mitigate the impact on working families in this country. It won't be easy, but it's the right thing to do.
Really? Francesca, will Americans really be in a sacrificing state of mind if gas prices stay high through the midterms?
Well, we have seen recently that President Biden's approval ratings have improved overall, but specifically on the Ukraine crisis. Now, for the downside of that is that he's still underwater in both his approval ratings and on the Ukraine crisis in the latest morning consult polling. So approval numbers rising, however, again, still underwater to that point. And when you talk about the president and the White House's position on some of these issues, I just wanted to pick up on what Scott was saying there for a minute and note that with the vice president this week in Europe, it does appear that the White House and some of its European allies having some of that face-to-face contact, they may have helped them to work out some of the issues with the planes, because we heard the Polish president say, we just want to give these planes to NATO, and then NATO can decide what to do with them. And there had been some questions about whether or not the Polish government and the White House were on the same page.
Scott, I want to go back to you in Philadelphia there and ask you about this bump that we potentially are seeing the president get because of this war in Ukraine. How are Democrats feeling going into the midterms? Are they, you know, I've heard that there may be some more optimism that it may not be as much of a wipeout as they had initially expected.
Yeah, I mean, history would suggest that Democrats are on pace to lose dozens upon dozens of seats in these midterm elections in the House, and that the House would flip control to the Republicans. We did hear from some of the campaign chiefs for the Democrats, Sean Patrick Maloney of New York, who said, look, redistricting, we fared better than we thought we would. So that's an upside. And of course, you know, we have the war in Ukraine, which has created all sorts of unpredictability in a election cycle that really had been favoring Republicans. So right now you're seeing, I think, the country rally behind President Biden and some of his handling of the issue. But at the same time, you know, we're still 6 to 8 months out from the midterm elections, and who knows exactly what will be top of mind mm-hmm. for voters when we come upon Election Day. Right now, it's not only the crisis in Ukraine, but certainly people are really struggling with the gas prices and the inflation, and that has been right. top of mind for voters, you know, at this very moment.
So, Francesca, let's talk about something that we do know, the spending bill that is going to the president's desk. $1.5 trillion funds the government through September. Passed relatively easy, no down-to-the-wire negotiations, no threats of a government shutdown, really. Why don't you start with that?
Yes, at this point, we would say passed relatively easily when we get to the day where the government shutdown would happen and the legislation is already right. passed, which tells you a lot about Washington right now. But the White House did say today that the president will actually sign a stopgap funding bill in between, because he will need to sign the longer-term bill. He doesn't have that in his hand yet. So there actually will be another continuing resolution, it sounds like, and then the longer-term funding bill. But there are still outstanding questions even after that package has passed, including on COVID relief funding, which was stripped out of that bill. The administration says it needs more money for pandemic assistance in order to continue combating the COVID-19 pandemic. And, of course, they are going to continue to seek that money also in the future, given that it was not appropriated to them.
Well, Scott, let me ask you a little bit about this spending bill. There was bipartisan support for this, in part because of the support for emergency aid to Ukraine. Seems like there was something in it for each side, yeah?
Well, there was. There was the $13.6 billion for Ukraine. It also increased defense spending, which was favored by Republicans. In terms of the Democrats, they liked what they saw in $15 billion of COVID relief. But because of some internal disputes over how that money would be paid for, the Democrats had to yank that out of the bigger spending bill. This would have been money for things like vaccines and COVID-19 therapies moving forward as we deal with additional variants after Omicron. And so what the House Democrats are going to do, we heard from Nancy Pelosi just today, she said they're going to take another crack at an additional COVID relief package next week. It still remains up in the air, but Democrats think that this is something that is needed as we continue to contend with the ongoing virus.
And Francesca, let me ask you about this COVID money. The voters are going to be asking, you know, what happens if the next variant comes? And economically, as far as all those supports that Congress came up with in the earlier variants, are we kind of back to zero here?
Well, the administration was just telling me today that they do have money currently to fight COVID-19. The question becomes future spending in the next couple months as they try to roll out some of these programs that the president announced in his State of the Union, like Test to Treat, whether or not that they have the money several months down the line if there's another variant that comes along. And of course, at that point, if the federal government were to have to tighten any restrictions, or states have to tighten any restrictions because of a new variant also. So it's more about that future money, they said, and that's part of the reason why they're not as up in arms at this point as you may think about that money being yanked and passed at another point. Hmm.
Scott, what about other priorities of the president's and of Democrats? Expanding the child tax credit, universal pre-K, that sort of thing. I mean, are we getting to the point in the legislative cycle here where if it's not in that bill, if it wasn't in that bill, it's not going to happen?
Well, the one thing they're not talking about is the old Build Back Better bill. I think Pramila Jayapal, the Progressive Caucus chairwoman, said it is the issue that shall not be named, reference to Voldemort. So they're calling it anything but Build Back Better. But they do want to pass pieces of it. There seems to be a disagreement right now in the party, especially here in Philadelphia, about whether you can do big pieces of that, or as some people say, Let's just focus on what we actually have done and try to sell that to the voters. That seems to be a big dispute right now in the party in terms of how they can protect the House and Senate in November.
Congresswoman Jayapal told me just recently that she felt that executive order was the only way to salvage parts of that plan. Francesca, why don't you wrap it up here? The Democrats are in Philadelphia. Just briefly, what do you think they need to walk out of that meeting having accomplished?
One thing that the president and the White House has tried to do is just bring them together on all the same message. You talk about Build Back Better, which is now Building a Better America, I believe, is the formal name for that. And so Democrats do have to find a way to move the president's agenda forward in a way they haven't been able to yet.
All right. Francesca Chambers of McClatchy and Scott Wong, NBC News. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.